Rabosad, let's begin the sugya on the bottom of Daf Yudal Amud Beis. Omar Ula, Kalakore Kriyashma Belo Tfilin Ki Ilu Meid Edu Sheker Biatma. Rashi says Lishna Ma'alya. This is a kind of a saginar. I mean, the Gemara didn't want to use a direct language to say that he's testifying some sort of false edus against the
from down under, just coming together.
Okay, great. Okay, we come from the tube.
No.
That's England. Okay, I don't know what country you.
Down under is Australia.
Oh, Australia. Okay, good. Yeah, I have some chutonim there in Melbourne. So what is the Gemara telling us? That a person, on the one hand, says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He's committed to Hashem being the sovereign king of the universe. And that's what he's testifying. But what is that commitment worth if he declares that Ukshartim Liosa Yodecha, you should be wearing tefillin, and he's not wearing tefillin? And if you take a look at Tosfos also seems to indicate something very similar. He says, again, it's a long Tosfos, but just pulling out one line, which I underlined on the page, if you got the page, Kilu Meir Edu Sheker Biatzmo Pirush Badon. He's testifying about the Adon. Adon is always Miloshon Adnus, meaning that Hashem is my master. And Hashem commanded me, as I am reading now, Shukore, and I recite V'hayu Totefos Ulos Al Yodecha, and yet V'ayin, and where are his tefillin? He's not wearing tefillin. So what kind of declaration is his Kriyat Shema as a statement of a commitment of Kabbalas O Malchu Shamayim if he's not willing to fulfill that very, very mitzvah that's written, that's incorporated in that very parsha? In fact, the Gemara goes on here, in the name of Rab Chiya bar Abba Rab Yochanan, another statement in the Gemara, and the Gemara says again, if a person reads Kriyat Shema and he's not wearing tefillin, is ki'ilu hikriv ola below mincha, v'zevach below nesachim. The karbanos are brought on the mizbeach, and they have to be accompanied by a mincha, has to accompany the karbanola, and nesachim have to accompany every single zevach. And the mitzvah of the karbanola is incomplete without the mincha. The mitzvah of the karban is incomplete without the nesachim. So he's being mekayim the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema in a very incomplete way. What about at night? So if there's a possibility of being mekayim the mitzvah and he fails to do so, that's called Eidus Sheker. But if there's no possibility of being mekayim the mitzvah, if we hold Laila Lavzman Tefillinu, then that's not considered Eidus Sheker. In other words, your commitment is only contradictory during the day. And that's why we could read the parasha of Vayomer at night, even though we cannot fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis if you hold Laila Lavzman tzitzis, as we discussed in the last year. I think Rashi also points this out in Dibra Amaschil Ki'ilu Hikriv Ola B'lo Mincha. Rashi says that when the Torah commands you to bring a carbon Ola, the Torah also says that you have to bring with the Ola a Mincha. What's the tzushta? What's the equation here to korei kriyash from below tefillin? Af ha-korei v'eino mekayim. He's very nice about it. He's very flowery. He makes this declaration. You know, I definitely will. You know, I will fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem. And yet, he doesn't wear the tefillin. Is eino gomer es ha-mitzvah. The mitzvah of kabbalas o malchus shamayim without tefillin is not a complete mitzvah. So before we see Rabbeinu Yonah, I just want to point out to you that there's no question in my mind that both Rashi and Tosfos understand this statement of Ula as being a chisaron in the kiyum of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. That your Kriyat Shema is not complete because you're not wearing tefillin. Again, we're going to see in Rabbeinu Yonah the possibility that you might even be forfeiting the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. You might even be violating an Avera by doing so. But before we get to that, Rabbeinu Yonah, I want to raise another question. If you were to take this sugya of Ula together with Rashi and Tosfos' interpretation thereof, and you would open up the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, the Rambam has Hilchos Kriyat Shema, the Rambam has Hilchos Tefillin, where would you anticipate that the Rambam would codify this halacha of Korei Kriyat Shema below Tefillin? In Hilchos Kriyat Shema. And yet, to the best of my knowledge, the Rambam completely omits it in Hilchos Kriyat Shema, which is bad enough. But worse than that, the Rambam codifies it in Hilchos Tefillin. The Rambam is known, I mean, the Meiri calls the Rambam the Mechaber, that's the word he uses to describe the Rambam. The Rambam is known for his codification in a very meticulous way. Everything has to be classified, and a mitzvah that belongs here is brought here and not there. Take a look at the Lashon of the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin, Perek Dalet Halacha Chavav. You have it on your page? So I think it's the fourth source on your page. And the Rambam writes, Afal pi shemitzvah lilbosh lilovshan kol hayom, even though there's a mitzvah to wear tefillin the entire day, nevertheless, b'shas tefillah yosem en hakol. So number one, the Rambam connects the mitzvah of tefillin with tefillah. Okay, that's number one. But then he goes on, Amru chachamim, and I have no doubt he's referring to Ula and our sugya, Kol akore kriyat shma below tefillin, kilu meid edu sheker biatzmo. That's very strange. The Rambam should have codified this in Hilchos Kriyat Shma, and instead he omits it and he codifies it here in Hilchos Tefillin. This entire perek dal of Hilchos Tefillin, revolves around the issue of how to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin. That's the subject of this perek in the Rambam. And here the Rambam tells me that if a person recites Kriyat Shema without tefillin, is that's not a good thing. Is ki
umeid ein
d'sheker
b'atzma. Maybe he holds that it's not the Gemira Tamitzvah.
Of what? Which mitzvah?
Of Kriyat Shema.
Ah, if it's not the Gemira, if it's not the Gemara mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, where should the Rambam have quoted it? Well, Hilchos Kriyat Shema, I would say. You know, the Rambam, if the Rambam's talking about a chisaron in Hilchos Kriyat Shema, the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema.
I'm saying, dafka not. It's not a chisaron. It's not a good.
Oh, so that's what I'm asking you. If it's not a chisaron in Kriyat Shema, then apparently it's a chisaron in what?
Tefillin.
In tefillin. In the mitzvah of tefillin. This is something very surprising. Meaning, let's go back to the Gemara for a moment of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that if he reads Kriyat Shema without tefillin, it's like he was makriv in Ola without mincha. The mincha is meant to accompany and embellish the Karban Ola. He has a Karban Ola, but he hasn't brought the mincha that's meant to accompany the Karban Ola. So there are two ways that you can interpret this statement of Rav Yochanan in the Nimshal. The mashal is quite clear. His mitzvah of Karban Ola is incomplete. Why? Because he didn't accompany it with a mincha. Shar Zvachim went to the sub. What's the nimshal? Rashi and Tosis learn that the nimshal is the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. The mitzvah of Kriyat Shema has to be accompanied by tefillin. And if he recites Kriyat Shema without his tefillin, it's like he brought a Karban Ola without mincha, without the sachim, and it's something incomplete in his mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. But there's another way of interpreting the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, and that is that the mitzvah of tefillin is the mitzvah that has to be accompanied by Kriyat Shema. There's got to be some sort of connection between your tefillin and your Kriyat Shema. One second, David. And why am I insisting in the Rambam's frame of reference that that's indeed the way he interpreted the Gemara of Ula, that the Tzushtal, the analogy between a Karban Mincha minus the Sachim, or what do you say?
The Ola minus the Mincha,
and the Zevach minus the Sachim, is the Rambam interpreted otherwise. The Rambam interpreted that it's Tefillin that's incomplete. How do I come to such a very chutzpahdik, this audacity on my part to say that the problem here is not Kriya Shema, the problem is Tefillin? What leads me to that conclusion? Because the Rambam brings in Ilchus Tefillin within the context of a presentation about how to fulfill my obligation to Tefillin. The Rambam says, be careful. You've got to make sure that you combine your Tefillin with Tefillah and with Kriyat Shema. And therefore, Tefillin without Kriyat Shema is not a fulfillment in the full sense, in the complete sense, in the midst of Tefillin. So it means that Tefillin is like the Karban Olah, and the Kriyat Shema becomes like the Mincha, and the Mincha has to accompany and embellish the Karban Olah, and the Kriyat Shema that you recite when you're wearing Tefillin has to come to embellish your wearing of Tefillin. Go ahead, David. Now I'm ready. I'm sorry, I just had to present the thesis.
And you say the Shema, that when you should, I understand it, that the Shema should be said with tefillah, and that should be that your minimum amount of tefillah that you need when you come to the Shema. So Shema and tefillah go hand in hand.
Right, I wouldn't use the word tefillah here because, if he has, it depends how much time he has, but if he has, if he has very little, so I guess all he can do is Kriyat Shema. But if he has a little bit more time, the Rambam wants him to be mispalel while he's wearing tefillin. But the point that I want to make is, I don't want to get off on a tangent with tefillah now, let's just focus our attention on Kriyat Shema, because that's our subject here. The Rambam seems to reinterpret this sugya. I don't know if he had a different gears in the sugya. I don't know. You see, I'll tell you what bothers me in this pshat in the Rambam. If our pshat in the Rambam is correct, I would have rewritten Ula's words in the following way: Kol alovesh tefillin below kriyat shma is kilu meyed edus liatzmo. You're wearing tefillin. You should be accompanying or embellishing that tefillin, that levishas tefillin, with kriyat shma.
But it can't quite be more inaccurate. So what he's basically saying.
So I don't know what
in Ula is.
Right, I'm saying, did he have a different girsan in Ula? Very often we know that the Rambam had different girsals. Sometimes the Rambam had a Yushalmi, had a Tosefta. I'm not entering into the science of it. That's for the Talmud department at Hebrew University. That's not my problem. But regardless of what girsa the Rambam had, it's a little bit strange the way we have the text that the emphasis seems to be on kore kriyat shma below tefillin. But perhaps Rabosai, you could say something, this is really way out, I want to say something a little bit radical, that what the Rambam means is that when a man recites kriyat shma and he commits himself to the mitzvahs of Hashem, including and explicitly tefillin, ukshartem, then at that moment, he should be wearing tefillin. Meaning, what the Rambam is learning here in Kore Kriyat Shema below tefillin is that the very moment I read Kriyat Shema, I have to wear tefillin. And why? Because the mitzvah of tefillin should be immediately connected or following that statement of commitment of ukshart. So just to suggest the following, there are three interpretations of this sugya that I want to suggest and place on the table. The first interpretation, I have no doubt, is Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi and Tosfos learn that how could you testify that yourself, that the Eibishter, the Ribbono Shel Olam, is the king, sovereign, and the ruler of the universe, and you're totally committed to his sovereign control, and then you're not wearing tefillin. That's a Kriyat Shema problem. The Chisaron here is in the key of Kriyat Shema, or as we say in the key of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. What kind of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim through tefillin is it if you yourself are not willing to wear a tefillin? The whole statement, the whole declaration is a bunch of hogwash. It's superficial. It's not sincere. Then we have the Rambam. The Rambam codifies this Gemara, this halacha of Ula in Hilchos Tefillin, which leads us to the conclusion that the subject here, this sugya according to the Rambam's pshat, is the mitzvah and the kiyum of tefillin. Tefillin likewise is connected to the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, as we'll soon see in the Gemara itself, the next line in the Gemara. Within the context of tefillin, I'm suggesting two different interpretations of the Rambam. One interpretation of the Rambam is that the levisha of tefillin, in order to embellish that levisha and place it within a broader framework of Kabbalah Salmoch Shemayim, it's Mechayev me in Kriyat Shema. Meaning, the very moment I wear tefillin, I must recite Kriyat Shema. That's one way of interpreting the Rambam. And if I wear tefillin and I omit Kriyat Shema, I'm missing something basic in the mitzvah of tefillin. The other way I'm suggesting is that if I recite Kriyat Shema, that recitation of Kriyat Shema engenders a mitzvah of tefillin. And if he doesn't wear tefillin, then he's being mevatel the mitzvah of tefillin. Why? Because the very moment that he's mekabel the mitzvah of tefillin, that moment engenders a chiyuv to wear tefillin. The reason I like the second pshat is because the Gemara's language bears out the second pshat, whereas it doesn't bear out the first pshat. So as odd as the second pshat is, what we're saying is that he's reading Kriyat Shema, at that moment, he's chayim in tefillin. And if he doesn't wear tefillin, he's being mevatel the mitzvah of tefillin, because the mitzvah of tefillin has to be connected to Kriyat Shema. If you go back to the first pshat in the Rambam is saying that when I wear tefillin, I have to embellish and enhance my mitzvah of tefillin by reading Kriyat Shema. You see, I would wonder the following. Okay, I'm sorry, Rabbi, I just want to try to just get this all out, you know, and try to understand what's going on. What would be if a man puts on tefillin and he doesn't read Kriyat Shema? Then he goes out to work, then he comes back, and he puts on tefillin and he recites Kriyat Shema. See, if we go with the first pshat that tefillin is mechayev me in Kriyat Shema. Okay, so on the first round I didn't do it, but I did on the second round. So in the first round, before I went out to work, I was mechayev levishas tefillin, but without the embellishment of Kriyat Shema. Okay, fine. So I only get X number of points for that. Right? The second round, when I came back from work and I put on tefillin a second time and I recited Kriyat Shema, now I've upgraded my tefillin to the level of tefillin plus Kriyat Shema. But if I go with the second pshat in the Rambam, then it's a much more severe business. Because if he recited Kriyat Shema, and then he wore tefillin, then he's missing that cue of embellishing his, of connecting his Kriyat Shema with tefillin. Then his tefillin is a kind of element of bittul essay. What do I mean a bittul essay? Because the chiyuv emerges with the recitation of tefillin. So if he's saying, well, you know, I would put on tefillin without Kriyat Shema, it was incomplete. Now I rectify what I did wrong. And now I've embellished my tefillin with Kriyat Shema. That's fine. That's fine. Nishkefelch, I would say there's no, he doesn't deserve patch. But if we're saying that Kore Kriyat Shema without tefillin, that itself is an impingement, it's a pegia in his mitzvah tefillin, and his mitzvah tefillin was forfeited to some extent, that's not good. That's a bit to say in and of itself. Yeah, Rabbi, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Uba says exactly what the problem is. Yeah. I don't think it has to do with Kabbalah Salmoch Shemayim or anything. He says he's made Sheker.
He's made Sheker Biatzmo because he's saying that I am a Kabbalah myself, O Malchus Shemayim.
No,
that's hogwash. You're not a Kabbalah, O Malchus Shemayim.
No, it's not the Kabbalah. I'm a Kabbalah. The Torah tells me to put on tefillin. I don't put on tefillin. It's like the Torah tells me to not.
So is that Kabbalah, O Malchus Shemayim? I mean, what's Kabbalah, O Malchus Shemayim if you.
Sheker. I am saying something and I don't believe in what I'm saying.
Okay. But that's not Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim.
Exactly.
So you know you forfeit the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. For the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, and you're telling me no, I'm not serious about my Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim.
Then it's not Sol Malchus Shemayim. I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one God, the Savior. Tefillin, and I believe in tefillin.
Wait a second, there are two parts to Kriyat Shema. There's Hashem Echad, there's one God, but there's also Hashem Elokeinu. What does Hashem Elokeinu mean? He's my God, right? That is Herman Wolk said, this is my God, right?
So you have a lot of people who believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but don't put on tefillin.
Good, so they'll get credit for Hashem Echad, but they won't get credit for Hashem Elokeinu. That's called Mayan Shekh. And that forfeits a chunk of the mitzvah of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. To such an extent, we'll see Rabbeinu Yonah, that he may have actually cut into Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim with the Seyed the Sheker. Completely undermined it. Let me read to you the language of Rabbeinu Yonah. I mean, Rabbeinu Yonah goes very far here. He says the following. I don't know if this is on your page, because I don't have Bar Ilan. All right, so I'll just read it to you. He says the following.
What
this is Ches Hamad Aleph in the Rif. Dibra Maschil Gimara Kol Akore Kriyat Shema. It's about, I'd say, 20 lines up from the bottom of the page. He says the following: Hapirush Anochon Kachu Diula Sfile Dikevan Shukore Ukshartem Liosa Yodecha. But you told me that the Eina Menichon Nimtza Shemeir Edus Sheker Al Atzmo Shemasha Omer Eina Emes. What he's saying is not true. Oh. Now, if that's the case, has he fulfilled his mitzvah of Kabbalah, Salmach Shemaim, of Kriyat Shema? He says, Afal Pisha Asa Mitzvah, She Yotze Yidei Kriyat Shema, Afilu Hachi, Ovar Avera Mitzad Acher, Sheheir Edu Sheker Al Atzma. In the first pshat, which is Rabbi Yonah in Ula, we'll soon see how Rabbi Yonah interprets from Yochanan, but in Ula's frame of reference, Rabbi Yonah says there's a paradox here. On the one hand, he obtains the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, but at the same time, he violates an Avera of Eidu Sheker.
So does that mean Vashekha Tirchok? Is that what he's saying?
I don't know if it's mitzvah sheket tirchak or it's some sort of chisaron in shema. But I don't know. You're right. The fact that he calls it avera, you know, you want to know what avera he has in mind.
That he didn't put on tefillin.
No, but he says eidu sheker. I don't know if he means because he didn't wear tefillin. Obviously, it's eidu sheker because he didn't wear tefillin. But what's the avera here? You know, the avera is sheker, maybe. You know, eidu sheker is an avera. I don't know if it's mitzvah sheker tirchok. I mean, eidu sheker is actually osan breachet sheker, but that's only benodam lechavera. So this, in general, reminds me of the Rabbeinu Yonah that we studied at the beginning of the Masechta, in which Rabbeinu Yonah raises the possibility that you can have a situation where you mekayim a mitzvah and at the same time you violate an avera. If you remember that Rabbeinu Yonah at the very beginning of Brachos. Then he says, Rabbi Yochanan Sfirle, the afilu ha-mitzvah atzma eina nasis. Okay, he adds the word shlema, that's important. But before we get to the word shlema, Rabbi Yochanan went a step further. And he's saying, don't think the way Ula understood it, that he has obtained the complete kiyum of Kriyat Shema just at the same time, by the way, he violates an Avera Veda Sheker. No. Even the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is somehow pogum, it's somehow incomplete. And that's what he says, Eini Nasei Shlema. The Kevan Shlo Kibbal of O Malchus Shamayim, the Havalei Kamisha Makriv Todah Belo Mincha, Kevan Shekore Belo Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim, that's the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. So just to summarize, Rabbeinu Yonah presents here, which the thought never occurred to me, Kaviyochel Machlokes here between Ula and Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, I didn't understand it that way. I just thought that Ula and Rabbi Yochanan are saying the same thing in different words. But comes along Rabbeinu Yonah and he says, nay, that's not true. Ula is saying that you have a complete mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, just at the same time you have an Avera because of Eidu Sheker, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying, no, the Eidu Sheker itself undermines the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema to some extent.
It's not Eidu Sheker, it's
an afkamina.
I don't understand. This was being asked from behind the forum. I don't think that you gave a full answer on that. You get bent out of shape very badly about the third parsha of Kriyat Shema, the Lila, because it's Lavzman Sitzes.
Right.
We don't, and now at night time, which is Lavzman, also Lavzman Tefillin, we don't get bent out of shape about saying the first two parshas.
We don't get bent out of shape about saying the first two parshas.
There's no long Gemara anywhere saying, giving an explanation of why, how could we say, Ukshartim Los, Al Yodecha, when you're not wearing Tefillin at night. Nobody worries about it.
So that's what I said to David before, that the fear here is that you committed yourself to a mitzvah and you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. I mean, at night that's not an issue because there is no... If you would hold Laila Zman Tefillin, then this halacha that we learned here would apply even to Kriyat Shema Laila.
So, but the point is, so what? It's the same thing with tzitzis. Tzitzis is not zman tefillah. You committed right. yourself to tzitzis. You did it in the daytime. You said, and you said, and you said,
So that's what we worked very hard. But I don't want to go over the whole shiur that we had on Monday, whenever it was, that the third parsha of Kriyat Shema has two different elements of Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim. It has one element of tzitzis and has a separate element of Ani Hashem Elokeichem, which again, if you remember, the Shita Mugubetzes tells us that there's a parsha in Achimos, Ani Hashem Elokeichem.
The Gemara is working hard to try to put it in there because of Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim and because of Edus Yitzchias Mitzrayim. But the whole reason they have to work is because there's something negative about saying it, because it's lots of man tzitzis. But if you tell me that tefillin is, that Laila is, according to Man Dhamma, that says that Laila is lav man tefillin too, why does the Gemara spend any time trying to justify why they say those, they say Perek, the first parsha and the second parsha? They don't worry about it. They just go ahead and do it.
So again, I don't know if we have time for this, but if the Kabbalah's Omach Shamayim of the third parsha is tzitzis, then it would be very odd to be Makayim Kabbalah's Omach Shamayim with tzitzis when you can't even implement tzitzis. What we're saying is that the Kabbalah's Omach Shamayim of the first parsha of Kriyat Shema has many different elements to it. I'm just suggesting. You know what, Alan? Let's leave it. I'll tell you why. Because simply we have a problem of time. You know, if we want to accomplish
something. You're saying that it's a pogrom in. If you're not wearing tefillin, it's a pogrom in three.
If you have a chiyuv tefillin and you're committing yourself to fulfill the mitzvah tefillin, and now you have a chiyuv tefillin and you're not implementing, that's edus shekhar.
Hey, you know, chinami. So then the Laila time, why does the Gemara say, well, we're going to have a problem here because this is going to be made shekhar here because we're not saying, and it doesn't do anything to justify it.
But again, if there's no chiyuv, then it's not edus shekhar. If there's no chiyuv at night, it's not edus shekhar. The problem with the reason why we want to omit Parshas Vayomer at night, right, the Bnei Marav and Rav, as we discussed, is for a whole other reason, because what do you salvage from the Parshas Vayomer? Right? And the Parshas Vayomer has, if the Parshas Vayomer exhausts itself in Kabbalah, Sol Malach Shemayim of Tzitzis, then we might as well omit it at night.
Sorry, okay. Very quick, one word, very quick. Yeah. The difference between.
What is your first name, by the way?
Yisrael.
Okay.
The difference between Krishma is Manoi, and after Skiru Kori Vatora might that be according to Ulo or Rabbi Yochanan, whether you should wear tefillin after this month. So if it's Meit Sheker, then you should wear tefillin. But if it's not Meit Sheker.
He didn't recite Kriyat Shema, what's the case?
No, you didn't recite Kriyat Shema, you missed the time. And now it's Kiyur Kori.
I'm saying he didn't recite Kriyat Shema Bizman. Okay, so he missed that.
Now it's after 10:30, whatever.
Right.
And now he's saying Shema Kiyur Kori Batora.
Right.
So if it's Meir Sheker, then he's got to put on the tefillin. But if it's not Meir Sheker, if it's got to do with the question of Kriyat Shema in terms of Mitzvah Shlema, he's missed the Mitzvah Shlema anyway. So that's the Nafka Mina that could be whether you should have to put on tefillin Dafka at 11:30, 11:15 when you
want
to do the Krishna
Shalom Bisman. I'm sorry, so I didn't follow the whole thing, but let me just say what I did follow.
I don't want to take your time, sorry.
I would ask the following question. Would it be meaningful after Zman Kriyat Shema to put on tefillin and recite Kriyat Shema? And I think it should depend upon the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos on the one hand and the Rambam on the other. Meaning, in Rashi and Tosfos, the chisaron of below tefillin is a chisaron in Kriyat Shema. Well, sorry, buddy, kikori b'torah, but you don't have the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. But if on the other hand you go with the Rambam's approach, that the chisaron here is the kiyum of tefillin, and the kiyum of tefillin is the full day, then I want to integrate Kriyat Shema, perhaps. Again, I don't know. You have to really analyze it. What kind of Kriyat Shema would be integratable into tefillin? Would it be any Kriyat Shema, even B'Torah, Divrei Torah? Or would it have to be a kium of Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim?
Yeah, I want to say between Ula and Rabbi.
That's what I understood from what you said.
Sorry, Rabbi. Between Ula and Rabbi Yochanan.
Ula and Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yonah?
Or
what?
Even the Gemara. Meir Sheker Ba'atzmoy.
Right,
so obviously, even after the time, if you're going to say Kshatim at 11:30 a.m., you still put on tefillin over Meir Sheker. But if it's not because of Meir Sheker, but it's because of...
Wait, just one second. 11:30 is after Zman Kriyat Shema?
Yes.
So why would you have to put on tefillin?
No, because you made Sheker.
What do you mean Meir Sheker? You're reading Pesukim in the Torah. I don't get it. Any time I read the Torah, I have to.
Would say that,
you know,
you have to do it.
I'm going to take out a pasuk now and read Uksharetim. I got to put on tefillin. I don't see that. I would say if it's a din in kiyum mitzvahs tefillin, then maybe there's a hava mina that you should read Kriyat
Shema.
Okay. I only get to meet with these great gentlemen twice a week.
Sorry,
no, I don't know. That's my own problem. It's not your problem.
Tisha B'Av in the afternoon when you put on tefillin.
Okay.
There's a minhag to say Kriyat Shema, and there's another minhag to say Yishin can't say Kriyat Shema because it's the Hebrew Torah. But it may be this machlok is between Rashi and Tosfos on the one hand and the Rambam.
According to Rashi and Tosfos, you'd have to
say it. You'd have to. And it's also the Hebrew Torah. But according to the Rambam, you're putting on tefillin, you have the din.
Excellent. Beautiful. Very nice. Okay. Now, I wanted to point out to you another machlokas here in this sugya, and that is about tzitzis. If you take a look, Tosfos says, again, I bolded it on the page just to make life a little easier for us, Avol tzitzis she'eno ela chovas talis, shim yesh lo talis chayov, v'yim ein lo potu b'tzitzis, yochol likros kriyat shma below tzitzis. So Tosfos, if I understand correctly, is raising the following question. The Torah gives us the mitzvah of tefillin, and our sugya combines the mitzvah of tefillin with kriyat shma. The Torah also gives the mitzvah of tzitzis. Our sugya doesn't whisper a word about tzitzis. Is there a parallel halacha that I would have to read Kriyat Shema with tzitzis on? And Tosfos says, not really. Meaning, tzitzis is a chovas talis. That has nothing to do with this mitzvah. And it sounds to me like the lumpness of it is the following. That the mitzvah of tefillin is directly related to Kriyat Shema. What is Kriyat Shema, as we said over and over again? Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Tefillin is part of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. That's what the Gemara is going to say now in the next line. Om Rabbi Yochanan Rotsa Shi Kabbalah of Ol Malchus Shemayim Shlema is Yifane V'yitol Yodav. Yifne V'yitol Yodav Yadiach Tefillin. And there's no mention of talis, of tzitzis. V'yikur Kriyat Shema V'yispalel. Meaning the process of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim begins with Yifane Nekavav through Netilas Yadayim, includes Tefillin, Kriyat Shema, and Tefillah, and culminates with Tefillah. No mention of Tzitzis. If that be the case, Tosfos might be arguing here that Tzitzis is not part of the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. So when I wear Tefillin, that act of wearing Tefillin is an act of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. And therefore, when I'm reciting Kriyat Shema for the purpose of being Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, I have to wear Tefillin in order to embellish my Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. But tzitzis is not part of the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, it's part of the mitzvah of Chovas Talis, and therefore there's no separate din that I have to wear tzitzis at the time of Kriyat Shema. However, let's take a look at the Rosh. The Rosh in Simon Yud, here in the second perek, says the following. He's dealing with Dinei Hefseko. Somebody brought him, you know, talis in the middle of davening and so forth and so on, and whether or not it's a problem of hefsek. And he says tefillin is not a hefsek, but then he says v'nirish yesh lachalek bein tefillin litzitzis, meaning he wants to make a distinction. He says tefillin is the exception to the rule. Tefillin is not a hefsek. Why? He says kida omar. Meiniach tefillin v'yikra kriyat shma v'yispalel zui malchus shamayim shlema. That tefillin is integrated into this entire process of kriyat shma and tefillah in order to obtain the mitzvah of kabbalas ol malchus shamayim b'shlemus. So it means that since levishas tefillin is a kiyum of ol malchus shamayim, therefore it's not a hefsek. But in tzitzis, on the other hand, there's no kiyum of kabbalas ol malchus shemayim, and therefore there's no chisaron in kriyat shema and tefillah without tzitzis, and therefore it would be a hefsek to put on my tzitzis at that point. And he embellishes it. He says, "V'od nira de min asvari yesh lechalek de shiny tefillin shekasuv bohem kabbalas ol malchus shemayim v'ol mitzvahs." If you look in the tefillin, the parshas of tefillin, that's where you'll find kabbalas ol malchus shemayim and ol mitzvahs. V'karam akasuv zikaron. Tefillin is called zikaron ve'ninech, etc. That zikaron means that I remember all of the mitzvahs of Hashem. However, that has nothing to do with mitzvah tzitzis. Mitzvah tzitzis is already a chovas beged, and it's not part of his kabbalah sol malchus shemayim, and therefore, you don't find this halacha that we saw in the name of Ula, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that his mitzvah of kabbalah sol malchus shemayim is incomplete without tzitzis. He has to wear tzitzis. So far, so good. But here I get a little confused. The Rambam in Hilchas Tzitzis does connect tzitzis to our sugya, so to speak. I mean, don't take me literally on that, but I mean to say he connects tzitzis to one of the mitzvahs that we've been dealing with here. And he writes the following. Perek Gimel Aloch Yidal, Li'olam Yishtadel Lios Otuf Biksus, HaMechuyeves B'Tzitzis, Kedei She'ikayim Mitzvah Zu. Good, that's fine. A person should always try to be mahadir, look for opportunities to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis by wearing a beged of dalad kanfas. Fine. Then he writes, U'bishas HaTfilah Tzorech Lizoyer B'Yoser. He has to be very careful to wear tzitzis. And notice that the Rambam mentions tefillah, but not kriyat shema. So on the one hand, I'm very excited because the omission of the Rambam, I think, speaks volumes about the fact the Rambam accepts what we interpreted Rashi and the Rush. I mean, Tosfos and the Rush, that tefillin is unique in its role under the general rubric of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, where tzitzis is not part of that constellation. And therefore the Rambam doesn't mention a word about Kriyat Shema. But yet, the Rambam does seem to connect tzitzis, if not with Kriyat Shema, with which mitzvah? With tefillah. Mitch, what are you saying?
No, I just don't see that. We're doing tefillah because tefillah is part of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim.
Right, obviously, the Rambam is not talking about Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, because if he were, he would have mentioned what? Kriyat Shema, which he doesn't.
So
what I'm trying to figure out here is, what is the connection between tzitzis and tefillah? The Rambam says, "Gnai gadol hu talmidei chachamim shispalu vehem einam atufim." Interesting. He starts in this halach with the word tzitzis, and he ends with the word atufim, atifa, because we have what you call a talus cotton. I don't know if you know the word labzibekel. That's the Yiddish word for it. And then there's the talus gadol. Which word does ituf, by sheer association, which one of the two? The gadol, right? Because ituf, and this is the sheet of not just Rabbeinu Yonah, people think it's the unique sheet of Rabbeinu Yonah, but there are many other Rishonim that agree with Rabbeinu Yonah, that the Iker mitzvah of tzitzis is the talus gadol. That's why I never understood the minog that children and even bar mitzvah bachas should not wear a talis
right.
Until their bar mitzvah. Excuse me, until they get married.
Right.
So the Taz works overtime to try to justify this, but frankly speaking, I don't begin to understand the Taz. But that's not for us now. But be that as it may, there's a great mitzvah of ituf betalis, which surrounds his body, and the Rambam says that is a that is connected with the mitzvah of tefillah. Now, David HaMelech already says, if you take a look, tefillah la'ani ki yatof, v'lifnei Hashem yishpok tzicho, meaning the Ani, who represents the paradigm of a mispalil, right? We're all Aniim together, no matter how much money you have in the bank, and we have to come kiyatov with Atifa. And if you take a look at the Rama Minuchas Tshuva when he speaks about Slichos, again he speaks about Ituf, that the Shliach Tzibur should be Ma'utov. This is Gemara Rosh Hashanah. You're standing in front of the Ribono Shel Olam and Tefillah, and you need Tefillah Li'ani Kiyatov. And that's what the Rambam says in Hilchas Tefillah, Derech Kolach Achomim V'Talmideyem Shelo Yispalalu Ela Kishahem Atufim. The Rambam is emphasizing that there's a Din Ituf B'Shas Tefillah. There is no Din Ituf B'Shas Kriyat Shema. It's a special, unique Tefillah Halach. And if you turn your page to the second side, you'll see that the Rambam, in the strangest of all places, quotes this halach of Ituf. When the Rambam describes how the original Talmidei Chachamim would go out to the fields and be Makabel Shabbos, which is the Kiyum of Kvod Shabbos, because there are two mitzvahs of Kvod Shabbos. There's one Erev Shabbos and there's one on Shabbos. Is the Rambam says that you need Rechitzas Panov Yadav Viraglov Bechamim. Okay, so those are like a cold shoulder, a cold shower. The Rambam says that's not good enough. And the Rambam says that all this is for Kvod Shabbos. But the Rambam says more than that. It's not just enough to clean your body for Shabbos, for Kabbalah Shabbos, for Kvod Shabbos. But also, Misatev Bitzitzis, V'yoshev B'Kovid Rush. This would support the minig of some of the Yemenites. I don't know if you've ever been in the Teimani minig where they all wear talasim. All the Yemenites don't wear talasim, but if you've ever been in such a minion, it's really interesting. We only have it on Leil Yom Kippur. The question is why Leil Yom Kippur is different from any Shabbos or any Yontif or any day of the year. But certainly within the context of Kvod Hayom, and the Rambam, by the way, holds that Kvod Hayom in Yom Kippur has a special category, but the Rambam extends Kvod Shabbos. He has Misatev Bitzitzis, V'yoshev B'Kovid Rosh, Miyachel Hakbolas Pnei HaShabbos, Kemoshu Yotze Likras HaMelech. The Bali Kabbalah called it the Malka, but the Rambam calls it the Melech. The Halachists call it Shabbos HaMelech. And Chachomim Rishono in Kabtzin Talmidei Berav Shabbos Misatvim V'Omrim Bo V'Neitzin L'Kras Shabbos HaMelech. So Rabbosai, why would the Rambam take this halach of Ituf B'Talis? I understand why he takes it into Hilchas Tefillah and connects Talis with Tefillah, but why does he connect it with Kabbalas Shabbos, with Kvod Shabbos? And the answer is because again, when man has an encounter with Ribono Shel Olam, he's got to tremble. He has to be humble. And he does so, and he expresses that situation by Ituf. And the Rama writes in Hilchas Tefillin that the mitzvah of Tefillin also requires a very special state of mind. And as I told you at the outset, the Rambam dedicates Perek Dalet of Hilchas Tefillin to how to fulfill the mitzvah of Tefillin on its highest level. And that's where the Rambam quotes the halacha that you have to recite Kriyat Shema with Tefillin and not without Tefillin. And the Rambam writes also, Chayav Adam L'mashmesh B'Tefillin V'Kod Zman Shein Olam, meaning a person has to be constantly aware of his Tefillin, no Hesech Hadas from Tefillin. And the Rambam writes, Kedushasam Gdolim Kedush Satzitz. And the Rambam writes that Tefillin have a Shem Hashem of Echad V'Yesrim. And all this, I believe, is indicative of the Rambam in his approach that Tefillin and Kabbalas Olam Chushamayim are connected to each other. And Tefillah is also a Kabbalas Olam Chushamayim. On the other hand, the Rambam says that although Kabbalas Olam HaShemayim is connected to Tefillin, that's because Tefillin has such a Kedusha, it's like a Kedushas Tzitz, it's a kind of Kabbalas Olam HaShemayim, accept upon myself the shame of the highest level, the highest Kedusha. However, the Rambam doesn't mention any connection between Tzitzis and Kabbalas Oma Hushmaya. So this is not a plug for tefillin as opposed to tzitzis. That's not what I'm trying to accomplish here. But I'm trying to show you that I think in the Rambam's frame of reference, tzitzis goes one direction and tzitzis and tefillin goes a different direction. Tzitzis has a gravitational pull to tefillah because it's a halach of ituf. And ituf means when I encounter Hashem, the Rambam writes that the kavan of tefillah, which is absolutely indispensable, is sheroes asma omeid lifnei amelech. He's standing in front of the king, lifnei hashchina. That requires ituf. However, kriyat shema is a different mitzvah. That's kabbalas olmach shema. Here, ituf is not a requirement. It doesn't embellish my kriyat shema. It doesn't embellish my kabbalas olmach shema. I know you'll ask about the minig to be misatef with shas kriyat shema. I don't know. We'll have to justify that minhag according to other Rishonim, but not according to the Rambam. But the Rambam requires ituf in tefillah. Yeah, but the question is why? I don't know which Rishonim he had in mind. Keep in mind that Tosis himself, when he speaks about tzitzis, b'shas kriyat shema, he writes that sometimes he doesn't have a beged for tzitzis. So I'm not sure what Tosis means. It's a little bit in the twilight zone, it's ambiguous. Tosis might be implying that if he has a beged with dalet kanfas and he wears tzitzis, then maybe in fact the tzitzis would embellish his mitzvah of kabbalas ol malchus shamayim. So at the time in Tosis, they didn't wear tzitzis all the time. They, you know, if they wore a beged, they did. But once the minhag was accepted in Klal Yisrael to wear tzitzis on a regular basis, again, I don't know if that tzitzis has a din of talis, of ituf, but be it as it may, if we combine those two, then already it might be such that Tosis himself would agree that there is a connection between talis and kabbalah salma.
It could be
somehow
a guru and tefillah, in other words, krishma in another sense is because of tefillah. And therefore the ituf might also apply there, but not because of kabbalah salma. Maybe that's why.
Ah, I see. Could be. I don't know. That's an excellent question. The Rambam very often speaks about Chachamim. Chachamim in the Rambam is not what you and I think it means. Chachamim mean the not just the scholars, but Chachamim mean those who are dedicated to the meticulous fulfillment of the mitzvahs on the highest level. And there are many examples of that in the Rambam. You'll take, for example, the Rambam's description of Su'udah Mafsekes on Erev Tishba. You mentioned Tishba before. And the Rambam goes into great detail about the Chachamim. What the Chachamim did. I don't know if it means that they were the ones who were so brilliant that they could answer all of Rabbi Kivega's kashas. What the Rambam means is the Chachamim have a certain sensitivity to Avodas Hashem, to get a close relation with the Shechina. And on Tisha B'Av, when we're entering into the day of Havelus for the Churban HaBayis, they, the Chachamim, are those who appreciate the tragedy and the catastrophe of the loss of the Beis HaMikdash more. They're more sensitive to that than the others, and their Kiyum of Havelus therefore becomes extended. In the same sense, their Tefillah, the Tefillah of Chachamim, is different. The Kabbalas Shabbos of a Chacham is different. All these mitzvahs indicate that sensitivity to Dveikus, to Hosos Avodun, and to get close to Hashem. Okay, Rabosai. Now we turn to Daf, Pesvav, Amud Aleph. And although, if we had more time, we would go through the sugya word for word, I'm going to fast forward to the punchline of the sugya for our purposes, which is more or less a summary of the entire sugya that came before it. So you're counting down from the top of Tezvav Amud Aleph, 8 lines down. Amale Ravino L'Rava Chazi Mar Haitzurva Mirabonon Di Osami Mar Rava Vi Omar She'en Mishi Ein Lo Mayim Lirchot Yodov Mekaneach Yodov Bi Ofar Ubitzrar Ube Kisomes or Kismes. So a person doesn't have access to water to wash his hands before he recites Kriyat Shema. And what should he do? He can wait and try to get to water. And he says, no. What he should do is, he should wipe his hands in Afar, in Tsrar, or in Kismis. These are ways of cleansing his hands. Kismis is a piece of wood that you can scrape off any dirt on your hand. Amar Le Rava said to Ravina, he spoke to him in third person, Shapir Ka Omar, you know, instead of saying you, he said it very well. to miksiv, it doesn't say erchatz b'mayim. The Torah doesn't require rechitza b'mayim, but rather the Torah says erchatz b'nikoyon ksiv kol midi d'menake, anything that cleanses his hands. So we have here in this sugya a fundamental distinction between what we call netilas yadayim, which requires mayim, requires water, and a halacha of nikius, which means to remove dirt or filth, and that's not netilas yadayim. In fact, it doesn't require a chitza or netila b'mayim. It could be fulfilled in many different ways, as long as you achieve the goal of nikius. And my question to you today, and this is what I'd like to study with you, is where do we expect, where do we anticipate that the Rambam would quote this halacha of kinuach yodov, of nikius hayodai? Should we find it in Hilchus Kriyat Shema? Should we find it in Hilchus Tefillah? Where should we look for it? And the answer, I believe, is in both places, in Hilchus Kriyat Shema and in Hilchus Tefillah. Because in both cases, the mitzvah requires nikius yodayim. In fact, the Rambam Hilchus Tefillah lists five cardinal requirements for tefillah, and one of them is nikius hayodayim. So let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam Hilchus Kriyat Shema, Hakori Yashma Rochetz Yodav B'mayim Kodim Shiyikra. The Rambam advocates the best way of preparing yourself with nikius for Kriyat Shema is B'mayim. However, now it's the time for Kriyat Shema, you can't find any water that's not accessible to you. Says the Rambam, be very careful, O Ya'acher Kriyasa, don't run around looking for Mayim. Yelech Levakish Mayim, Ela Mekaneach Yodov B'yofar, O B'tzror, O B'kora, V'chayotzu B'hen V'kore. So basically the Rambam says that this halacha of Kinuach Yodayim, of B'mekaneach Yodov, is a halacha in the kius, and therefore that's what you need and nothing more. Hilchus Tefillah, the Rambam writes, Taras Yodayim, one of the five things that we require for Tefillah, Perek Dab Hilchus Tefillah Al-Chabez, Ketzad, Rochetz Yodav B'mayim. The Rambam says that the best way of doing this is Rechitza B'mayim. And then the Rambam says, what happens if you have to travel in order to get the Mayim? Again, in Tefillah, you have a little bit more time to accomplish this. The Rambam goes on to tell you, Arba Milin, how much is Arba Milin, and so forth and so on. However, let's say, Hoya Beino Ben Amayim Yoser Al Kain, he's far away from the place where he can get water. Is Mekaneach Yoda Bitzrar, O Biofer, O Bikora, Umispal. But Bosa, I'd like to raise the following question with you, which absolutely fascinates my mind. I hope you'll be interested in it too. We don't have that much time, so I'll try to be makatze. And maybe if we have to, we'll pick it up next week. What about netilas yadayim for a meal, feeding bread? Would it be sufficient, assuming I don't have mayim, that instead of netilah, instead of rechitza b'mayim, I be mekaneach yoda? Meaning, if there is a halach of kinuach yodayim, b'tzrar, b'kisam, all these cases, in order to establish nikius, well, that doesn't apply only, exclusively, to kriyat shema tefillah. What about cleaning my hands for eating a meal? When the Chachamim established the mitzvah of netilas yodayim for suda, did they do it in an identical way to cleaning your hands for Kriyat Shema Tefillah? Is it just a matter of cleanliness? Or is it some other halacha? And if it's cleanliness, then what we saw here in Hilchus Kriyat Shema and Hilchus Tefillah should apply equally well in Hilchus Netilas Yadayim for Suda. And guess what? I think this might be a machlokas between the Rambam and the Raifat. That's what I want to throw out in front of the Chabur. What is the nature of this takana of washing one's hands for a suda? The Rambam writes, and I want you to pay attention to what the Rambam, not just to what the Rambam says, but what to the Rambam doesn't say, what he omits. In Hilchos Avos HaTumah, Perkes, he writes that Shlomo Melech Beis Dino Gozru Al Kol HaYadayim Shiyu Shnios, Shnios LaTumah, which means that if they come in contact with Truma or Kachim Kalim, they posel it. The Afal Pishlo Yoda Bivade Shenitmu, Shlomo's Takana was such that he has no reason to assume that his hands became Tmeos, but nevertheless, Yadayim Askonios Hain. And therefore, Shlomo Melech made an absolute requirement of Netilas Yadayim. V'lo gozar Shlomo al Yadayim Tuma Elo L'Kodesh, as opposed to Chulim. The Achakach Gozru Chachamim. No, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. V'lo gozar Shlomo al Yadayim Tuma Elo L'Kodesh, meaning Hegdesh, and not Truma. But in a later generation, Achakach Gozru Chachamim, they expanded it, Achrov, afterwards, Afle Truma. L'Fichach. Tzorech netilas yadayim l'truma. A Kohen has to wash his hands before he takes truma into his hands. And not only that, we assume without netilas yadayim that your hands are shneos l'tuma. We don't know that that's the case, but that's the nature of the gzera. And that's why the Chachamim went even a step further. V'naga b'truma, kodem sheyod l'yodav, psula. The truma has to be burnt. No mention of what, Rabosai? Of no mention of the kiyus, and no mention of what? What other frame of reference do we have for a takonis chachamim that requires the tils yadayim before you take some food into your hand? Not just truma or hegdesh, but also suuda. The Rambam doesn't say so. And the Ravid gets up and he says, I want to make a mechah, I want to make a protest. Why? Omar Avram, the achikach gozru al achilas chulin shetzorach netilas yadayim. Why didn't the Rambam, if he's listing all the levels and the developments of the gzeros, and he starts with Shlomo Melech's original gzera for hegdesh, and then the next generation, Achrov, extended it to include truma, the generation after that made a takon of netilas yadayim. And that too should have been mentioned here in the Rambam. But there are two points that we want to make in this Ravid. Point number one is we have to answer the Ravid's kasha. Why the Rambam omitted it? It's not Dvarim Bichdi. It's not simple. If the Rambam omits something, then he deliberately omitted it. The Rambam was not lazy or tired. But the second question I want to ask you is, what conclusion do I derive from the Ravid? If the Ravid wants to add a line in this context of Hilchos Avos HaTumah, that's where we should have mentioned the takana of the Tils Yadayim L'Achilas Chulin. What did apparently the Ravid understand about the nature of this takana of the Tils Yadayim for Chulin? Nobody's with me?
You're with me, but I'm not sure.
No, I'm just saying. We're trying to figure out what is the nature of the Tils Yadayim for Chulin before you eat a meal. One way of saying it's Nikius. Correct? It's Nikius. But I indicated before that there might be another possible way of understanding it. Exactly. It's Allah and Hilchas Tumah. The Ravid believes that this was an extension of the original Takan of Shlomo Melech, and therefore the Rambam was remiss in not codifying, not mentioning Netilas Yadayim to Chulin and Hilchas Avos HaTumah. And why did he leave it out?
Because he didn't think it applied to Sud.
Because he understood that the requirement of the Netilas Yadayim for Sud is only what? It's only Nikius. And that's what I think, if you take a look in the Rambam in Hilchas Brachos, which is the next source that I have in your page in Perek Vav Halacha Beis, the Rambam says, Kol Anotel Yodov, Beila Achila, Beila Kriyat Shema, Beila Tfila. Where does the Rambam codify? In what context does the Rambam quote the Halacha of Netilas Yadayim for Suda, for Achila? Together with what? In one breath with what? With Kriyat Shema and with Tefillah. Meaning that this halacha, according to the Rambam, the Tils Yadayim for Suda, is really a third halacha that we saw. We saw Hilchas Kriyat Shema, we saw Hilchas Tefillah, and now we want to add Hilchas Suda. And the same Tils Yadayim that applies to Kriyat Shema and Tefillah applies to Suda. And then the Rambam says in all three cases, he makes a bracha. Shezu mitzvos chachamim. I would embellish those words of the Rambam. Zu mitzvos chachamim means it's one takana. In Yisodo Shel Dover, fundamentally, it's one takana. The takana that the Chachamim made was a takana of wash your hands so that they be clean, midin zuama, midin akius, and there was no gzeira mishum tuma. Whereas the Ravid understood that in order to bolster the takana that, you know, before you eat hegdesh, you have to wash your hands because your daim shneels l'tumah. Before you eat truma or touch truma, you have to wash your hands. So in order to make that meaningful, to give teeth into it, they went a step further. And they said, let's extend it such that every Jew, on every occasion, when he eats something, treat his yadayim as shneels, and as if we were knowing, you know, Tara in Chulin, right? Chulin v'Tara, I don't mean that literally, but what I mean to say is that we should make sure that no one would think of taking food into their hands without the Tilus Yadayim. Numa Melo, according to the Ravid, it belongs in Hilchas Tumah, and the Ravid would therefore say that all the requirements that apply to the Tilus Yadayim for Truma would therefore, ipso facto, apply to the Tilus Yadayim for Suda. What I mean to say is that according to the Ravid, there is no such halacha of kinuach, bitzrar, or bekisam, or any of those, yofar, none of that would cut the mustard according to the Ravid. Because in Ilchus Tumah Vitara, there's halach of mayim, there's halach of kli, there's halach of hesek hadas, all these dinim apply. Ofar is wonderful. You know, you have all sorts of soaps and cleaning agents, but that's not going to do it for the Ravid, because the Ravid understands that essentially the nature of this takana is rooted in Hilchus Tumah Vitara. It's the identical takana of Shneels, of Yadayim Shneels Lituma, that was established by Shlomo Melech with regard to Hegdesh and extended to Truma, now extended to Chulin. The Rambam, on the other hand, is deliberate in his omission in Hilchus Avos HaTumah of the takana of the Tilus Yadayim for Chulin, because he holds that the Tilus Yadayim for Chulin is not a takana that's rooted in Tumah Vitara. It's not related or an extension of the original Gzeira of Shlomo HaMelech, but rather it's halacha of Nikius. Your Yadayim become Tmeos only in the sense that if they're filthy, that's not the time to take food into your hands. That's improper.
The whole concept of, you know, truma and then shneos and everything else—it's not even.
Okay, for that you have to know a little bit more about truma. But I just wanted to say the following: that in truth, I think that the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravi hinges on one word in the Gemara in Chulin, and the question is how to interpret that one word. The Gemara in Chulin on Daf Kuvav. This is the perek that we started learning yesterday, and we'll continue Mitzvah Shem tomorrow. So I hope to see you all tomorrow at the Chulin Shir. But we won't get to the sugya and Daf Kuvav, because that's the sugya that we're going to skip, the sugya and Tilus Yadayim. But here's where there's an overlap between Chulin and Brachas. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ashiyan, Netilus Yadayim L'Chulin, Mipnei Srach Truma. Good. Whose shita does that reflect? The Ravid. Clearly the Ravid. V'od. The question is how to learn the word V'od. Mishum mitzvah. So if you take a look at the Mefarshim, we don't have time now, they all go to town, what is this word V'od? And some say that fundamentally the takana is really, even according to the V'od, mishum srach, truma, and tuma and truma. But the Ode embellishes it with a mitzvah chachamim. In other words, not just that you do it in such a way, but you do it mishum mitzvah chachamim, whatever that is. And others say that the Ode is a lishna basra. And I believe that the Rambam understands that the V'od is a Lishna Basra, which means that the V'od is coming to substitute a new interpretation for the Tilus Yadayim, rather than accept the one of Srach Truma. And since there's a mitzvah of Lishma L'Divrei Chachamim, therefore the Rambam says that we make a mitzvah, we make a bracha on it. So if we go back to the Gemara, the Rambam in Hilchus, in Hilchus Brachos, the Rambam Hilchus Brachos says that we should make a bracha before Netilas Yadayim, and the Rambam says Shezu Mitzvahs Chachamim. In other words, when the Torah says V'yasis al pi Torah Shayarucha, and now we implement the Mitzvahs Chachamim, we make a bracha on that. And the Rambam says that Tils Yadayim L'Sud is a mitzvah chachamim. I have no doubt in my mind that he's quoting this V'od in the Gemara in Chulin, Mishum Mitzvah, my Mishum Mitzvah, Mishum Mitzvah chachamim. Mitzvah L'Shma L'Divrei chachamim. And that's the nature of the mitzvah. Chachamim, like in Kriyat Shema, and in Tefillah wants your hands to be clean for Achilas Asuda. And the nafkin mina would be that the Rambam would maintain that just like in Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, if you're too far away and you cannot get access to water, then you can fulfill this mitzvah by washing your hands with other agents, with Afar and Kisim and the like. And I was just thinking to myself that if the Ravid holds that we have a serious takana here that belongs to Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, it could be, again I'm just thinking out loud, that if a person would eat a suda of chulin without washing his hands, the Ravid would say not only was he remiss in fulfilling a mitzvah chachamim, but moreover he may have violated an isur, similar to a kohen who eats truma without metilas yadayim. This is not just the takanas mitzvah. This is much more fundamental. What the chachamim did was, and the Ravid sees chulin in that context as an extension of that original takana, is they created an isur. It's not just that they said, please fulfill this obligation and wash your hands with a kli, etc., etc., before you touch truma and before you eat chulin, according to the Ravid. It's more than that. They said, if you don't do so, you're in violation of an isur d'rabbanon. And the nafka mina rabosai is this pischei tshuva here on the bottom of your page. Of course, you finished the Maror Hakomos in an hour. It took me 5 hours. But you guys are geniuses. Of course, you didn't come up with the Maror Hakomos. Okay, but anyway, you know the famous story about Reb Chaim, and he said to his father, you know, what's the big deal? I came up with the same kashas as Reb Kivega. Yeah, he said, there's one difference. You didn't have the circle on the page. You had the circle on the page. Reb Kivega didn't. Okay, anyway. So what does a Pischei Tshuva want to know? An Onen, and we'll finish with this, is Potter Mikol Mitzvah Sator before he buries the dead. Correct? What about Losas? Is the Onen allowed to violate Losa says? For sure not. So the question is, what about Netilas Yadayim for Suda? So I would say the following. Netilas Yadayim for Suda is a mitzvah like any other mitzvah. In this case, it's only Darbanon. And if he's an Onen, he's put him in a mitzvah. Let him eat without washing his hands. And the Pischei Tshuva quotes Meshivim, response to literature, no. Even the Onen has to wash his hands with the whole 9 yards, except one thing, he can't make a bracha because he's excluded from brachos. But as far as eating a suda, he can't eat a suda without washing his hands. And later on, the Pischei Tshuva says, I myself don't buy into that shita. He has doubts about it. He brings the Rav Alfandi, you know, who's up there, I think, if I'm not mistaken, up in Tveria, and he says he had a suffix about it. And then he says, Mikomakom nire da'onen yitol yadav. He says, L'chatchila, let him wash his hands. But you get the impression that he himself doesn't feel that that we should impose this obligation on an Onen. But what about all the Meshivim who say that he is chayav in Netilas Yadayim, despite the fact that an Onen is part to be called on mitzvahs? The answer is, I believe, Rabosai, that Netilas Yadayim, and now we're very much influenced by the Ravid, is not just a mitzvah d'Rabbanan. It also engenders an Isur that you're enjoined from eating without washing your hands. The Onen, insofar as he's equal to everyone else in Isurim, Chas v'Shalom, he can't eat a meal without washing your hands. But if you hold, like the Rambam Shita, that it's all a din of Nikius, and the Rambam puts all the emphasis on mitzvah, mitzvah l'shma l'divrei chachamim, no, it's like any other mitzvah, the Onen is part of the mitzvah. There's no Isur to eat a meal without washing. And the Rambam would add, I think, that if you don't have access to water before your meal, just clean your hands, and that would be sufficient. Okay, man? We'll stop here.
Do you think this has to do with the overall philosophical notion of, after the destruction of the temple, the idea of the democratization? So Tefillah, for example, the Mokam Korban was no longer with the purview of the Kohanim, no longer same with Truma, because Truma, Kodesh, etc., and now they wanted to extend it to the masses.
Could
and
be.
That's why it was.
Could be. Maybe it takes on even greater meaning because we're remembering the meaning. It's a kiyum of Tzion. Tzion by Drisha, as the Gemara says, right? We need to be Dorish Tzion. So one of the ways, according to the Ravid, we should be Dorish Tzion is by remembering the experience of Tuma and Tara that existed then. And I have friends, not too many, I have only one actually, who's very mocked that he will not eat a fruit if it's been, you know, if it's been watered, you know, without washing his hands. He doesn't make a broch on it. But so there are people who are very, very mocked on these dinim of Tuma and Tara. And I always say to myself, if I had another life to live, I would learn Taras, because you might need another round for that. You know, I don't think I'm going to make it in this round, I don't think. But even when you learn Masechta Nida, you get a little bit of a taste of Taras, but not, you know, that's not the way to, you know, to convince yourself. And then if you learn Psochim, for example, the first parak, you know, they get to Reb Chanina Skan Kohen, and right away we're allergic to Tumah V'Tara, so we have to skip it. I don't mean that seriously, that we should be skipping it, but, you know, Taurus is something that if you're not oriented, that you haven't spent endless hours on it, you don't know your head from your elbow, you know, it's really terrible. So we really need we need a lot more years than I think we have. You know, if Gvurah Shvonim Shonim, we need a lot more than Gvurahs to get to Taurus. Okay, Rabosei, thank you very much. If anyone wants to join me tonight or tomorrow, tonight I give a shir in Yoredeya. This is the debut shir. That'll be at 7:30.
Way about where?
What do you say?
When you started in
Yoredeya. Hey, Zayn. We'll be emphasized with Kivega tonight. Tonight is Rav Kivega night.
Where's the shir?
Oh, right here in this room, Mirtz Hashem. This is my Yerusha for this part of my life. At 7:30. Then at 8:20, we have Hashkafish here for Rosh Hashanah. We'll talk about Shofar based on the Pachad Yitzchak. So I'll have for everyone a copy of the Pachad Yitzchak, and we'll try to rack our brains and figure out what he's saying. It's very challenging, but it's very satisfying, very exciting. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. I figure in order for me to understand the omek of what you're saying, I would need another hour, you know, which I don't have. You know,
all I'm trying to do is say is that every parak of Kriya Shema,
yes,
analyzed from two points: is are you allowed to say it? There's some external force that's not allowing you to say it.
Right.
And what is the force positive?
This Shabbos is goofy. You want to get back to me? I remember you said the children are, but I don't. You know, I can't hold cup. You know, I can't hold cup. How many weeks they here? But keep us in mind. You know,
broke his wrist yesterday.
Oh my gosh! How old is he?
My son's 42.
And he broke his wrist. Wow. My grandson broke his wrist, but he was 9. You know.
Different breaks.
Wow. Breaks. Yeah, my father-in-law broke both of his wrists.
So what I'm trying to say is, let's start with the simple one. Let's start with tzitzis.
Right.
Okay. Normally speaking, nobody would question the fact that there happens to be some part of a paragraph that is not applicable if the paragraph in general had a usefulness. Now the third parak of Kriya Shema has several parts to it. Kabbalah Solba for Shemayim, Tzitzis and Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim. Tzitzis doesn't apply because we're talking about Balayla, because it is not
love.
Okay. So, and nor you could say, so what? We have another two things that are incorporated in this paragraph, and so we should say it. Apparently, the Gemara does not want to take that so cavalierly like that. It says, if it has tzitzis in it, we have to have an overwhelming reason why we should say this paragraph. And the Gemara matters itself to explain why we should have to say the parsha of tzitzis, Balayla. Okay, it's not like this goes back to the Tanoim. Okay, now, but when you come to the paragraph before. The paragraph before has Kabbalah, that is Limud Torah,
right,
and also has Tefillin. So the same way you'd say, well, you know, it has Tefillin in it, but I can ignore that because I'm the Kabbalah, the mitzvahs Talmud Torah.
So you're saying, why could the Gemara ignore
it? The Gemara doesn't even mention. Doesn't say, he doesn't even have a hava meaning that you shouldn't say the second paragraph because it has tefillin b'layla. It doesn't say there's no havamina in the Gemara that would say why should we say well you're in Shemoed as it says k'shartim lo sal yadeva. Doesn't say that.
I hear it. So let me give you the following answer, Alan. What I think is going on here is that the third parsha of Kriyat Shema was added, was integrated into Kriyat Shema because of the mitzvah of tzitzis. That's not so in the case of the first paragraph of Kriyat Shema. The first paragraph is Kriyat Shema, the Rambam says, has Talmud and has Yira and Ava, whatever it has over there, all the different elements of the good stuff. Achdus of Hashem.
It's only because of tzitzis.
But the third paragraph, the Gemara establishes the course of tzitzis. Now, there is a chiyus tzitzis, but I tried to present the thesis here. I know you weren't so happy about it. That Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim is part of the parish of Tzitzis. It's not a separate entity. It is an element of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim because we're Avadim to Hashem and not Avadim to Paro. But nevertheless, that was connected by the Torah deliberately to Tzitzis. And it's a it's a binding that they're inseparable.
Where do we see that?
In the Torah itself. I mean, the Torah, right after Tzitzis.
So it says,
and then it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. That itself is not coincidentally placed in the parasha of Tzitzis.
No.
When we leave Mitzrayim, we accept all of Mitzvahs. When we put on Tzitzis, we accept all of Mitzvahs. That becomes a package deal. So if that be the case, if tzitzis is the reason for Vayomer, then according to one opinion in the Gemara, we cannot justify reciting a parish of tzitzis as Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim at a time when this mitzvah cannot be accepted upon us. Not so in the case of tefillin. Tefillin, admittedly, is part of my commitment, and insofar as I can fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin and embellish therein my Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, I'm required to do so. But if I don't have the mitzvah of tefillin, I still maintain the significance of the first parish of Kriyat Shema as Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim for a variety of other mitzvahs that appear in that parish. The fact that at this moment I can't be Mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin, or for example, I don't have a house to put a mezuzah on it, that's irrelevant. I still have Yichud Hashem, I still have Avas Hashem, I have Talmudo, I have Talmud Torah, and all that.
What you're saying, but you're saying that tzitzis and Zechiris Yisus Mitzrayim are
interwoven
in such a way that they are not inseparable, but it's clear.
And they form one entity of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. And the way I fulfill that Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim is by demonstrating that this mitzvah is meaningful for me. I'm accepting it. That I can't do at night.
Clearly not the
but again, I don't think it's an avera. You know, even Rav who says, you know, ain't no maskil, you know, you shouldn't read the third parasha Kriyat Shema. He would just express. He would just express his own mode of anachnu loch in his nuscha pratis.
Right. But it's clearly that's not the derech of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi sees this as separate because.
Oh, what is the Yerushalmi? What was the radical chiddush of the Yerushalmi? The radical chiddush of the Yerushalmi is that unlike Rav, the Yerushalmi or the Bnei Marav, they were of the opinion that in its very essence, the parasha of Vayomer has a different dimension, which is no less primary than tzitzis of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim.
Right, that's
where Rav disagrees. Rav says no. What we have in this parasha is tzitzis and Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's all we have. There's no other element that defines this parasha as a parasha of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim.
He says there's not even Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is only because of tzitzis.
Correct. And therefore, if I forfeit tzitzis because I cannot commit myself to tzitzis, Lila, then just drop the whole parasha. Comes along the Bnei Rav and they say, wait a minute, Rav, with all due respect, you're missing one important point. Vayomer as a parasha comes under two different categories.
Correct.
You have to be very clever to see the other category and the other nature and characteristic of the cat by taking the first pasuk, chopping it up, adding it to the third, to the last pasuk, and creating a new dimension or character or shall I say personality to this parasha. Rav was not on the same page. Rav said that the personality of this character is tzitzis slash yitzis mitzvah. If that's out, drop the parsha. Now Rav comes along with another problem. But he began reading the parsha. And once he begins reading the parsha, right, he's got to complete the parsha because you get into the whole issue of kol parsha de lo paskin Moshe Rabbeinu anan lo paskinan. That's the halacha of him, hischil gomer. Abaye in the third level came along and he said, "Look, I respect the bnei marov, so I have to start the parsha. I would at that point drop the mitzvah tzitzis and just." As the Bnei Rav did, you know, sew together the first part of the parasha with the last part of the parasha. But I can't do that because of Rav. In deference back to Rav, then in Hiskil Gomer, and you don't have the flexibility of creating a whole new parasha and therefore sideswiping, you know, the problem of Kol Paski and Lo Paski Moshe. I've got no choice here. I can't take the Bnei Marava straight through. I've got to allow for Rav. I'm going to read the entire part.
But
fill it is a different story.
Bnei Marava do not argue with Rav because even though they skirt the whole thing, they don't use the last pasuk. They should have used the last pasuk, but they disagreed with Rav. And they'd say...
No, they agree with Rav that this body, this unit called Tzitzis Yetzias Mitzrayim cannot be maintained as a parsha of Kriya of Kabbalas Omar Shrine Bolan. In that sense, they are one Bitmim Deo with Rav. Where do they disagree with Rav? Whether or not we can give to this parsha a different character. Of Kabbalah's homework, right? Can we somehow, you know, when you label something, you give a name to something, they want to know, can you give this parasha two different names? Rav says no. There's only one name. The baby can only have one name. You know, otherwise the baby's going to get schizophrenic.
I don't think they disagree with him then.
No, that's what I want to suggest was, again, you could offer a different shot in the Bnei Marava, is that what the Bnei Marava is trying to do is give a different name to this parsha. This parsha has another character to it. It's Kabbalah's Omach Shemaim under a different category that has to do with Har Sinai. It has nothing to do with Tzitzis, has nothing to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim. It has to do with the first of the Aseres HaDibros that they got in Har Sinai. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim Zokterashi. I am the one who you accepted Malchus Shamayim. And if that be the case, we can take the third parsha of Kriyat Shema, that's the radical Chiddush of Bnei Marava, and redefine it under a different character, different nature of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, without any relationship to Tzitzis, without any relationship to the Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's the Kabbalah's Malchus of Klal Yisrael at the moment that the Torah was given in Har Sinai. That's where they disagree with Rav.
But no,
Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is one and the same with Tzitzis. That's a package deal.
Okay.
Now, obviously, you want to embellish this even more. I'm not saying that we didn't exhaust the topic. It's probably got deeper and deeper layers of meaning. Why is it that the Torah places together Tzitzis and Yetzias Mitzrayim as one entity? But be that as it may, it seems that once we have to, you know, we have to undermine the parasha of Vayomer according to Rav, B'toras Tzitzis Laila Lavsman Tzitzis, we have to null and void even the Yetzias Mitzrayim. That also vanishes with the pact.
That's a little hard for me to understand.
Ain't Achinam. The whole sugi is hard from beginning to end. But I think we made a lot of progress on this sugi. The sugi itself, was gibberish, you know. And that's what the Rav in the Yahrzeit Shiurim that I showed you that piece. He, I think, breaks new ground, you know, in understanding this piece over here. Yeah, you saw it. Okay.
All right. So 7:30
tonight.
You're going to start where are you saying?
Pei Zion. Pei Zion.
Not in the